You know that saying, it's just pennies or it's just pocket change? Well, pennies, the national penny shortage has actually, you know, had an impact even here in Connecticut. Just earlier this month, the Department of Consumer Protection issued a business advisory addressing just that. And what can Connecticut businesses and consumers do about it? Joining us back on the show is Commissioner Brian Caffarelli with Connecticut's Department of Consumer Protection. Hey, Brian, what's going on?
Hey, Melissa. Good morning. How are you?
You know, I can't
happy
complain.
New year.
Happy New Year. And I did realize in the new year that they were going to stop basically making pennies nationally. I remember seeing that. And so we knew inevitably that there would be potentially a national penny shortage, but also just in general, we were going to have to kind of adjust to a world where eventually pennies are kind of a thing of the past, which is kind of crazy. But what do you recommend Connecticut businesses and consumers know about this?
It is crazy. And it's come up not just because they stopped producing them in December, but now business owners, they're asking, what do we do if we're short on pennies? And it's not just here, but other states have faced this. And so in Connecticut, we have a law that says, you know, you can't charge a customer more if they're paying cash. So if you don't have change to make the cash, you've got to round down to the nearest 5 cents. So, for example, if a customer comes in and you're the store owner and the total is $19.97 and the customer is paying cash but can't pay the exact amount, you should only charge the customer $19.95, so to the nearest nickel. You know, the same thing. And if the total is $1.04 and the customer can't pay the exact total, the business should round down to the dollar. So it's always rounding down, not penalizing the customer for paying in cash.
How do businesses feel about that, though, Brian? Which sounds silly, right? Because you're talking about a couple of pennies. But I would think a couple of pennies adds up. And I would think that businesses are like, wait a minute, I don't know how I feel about this. I mean, what has been the response to this? It seems like not a big deal, but I would imagine... I would imagine somebody's unhappy. Maybe they're not, though. That'd be nice, right?
Well, you know, to be honest, they were looking for clarity.
Mm.
And so just to have some kind of decision on it, to understand what to do to make sure that they're doing right by the customers and it's uniform and, you know, it kind of passes muster. I think that generally everyone's okay with it. Mostly these days people don't pay in cash. So it's not as big of an issue as it would have been in the past. But you know, no, we have not heard a lot of negative comments from businesses. Really, they are, in fact, the ones who reached out and said, look, what do we do?
What do you want us to do about this? Well, that's good then.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Great.
Yeah. No, it seems to be good. So, and again, just a little plug. If you've got a lot of coins lying around at home, which a lot of people do, banks are still accepting them. You could go to Coinstar. So if you get those back into circulation, you could help out at least for a little while. I remember there was a coin shortage during COVID, but, you know, we're not going to solve this with pennies coming from home. It's the new norm, like you're saying. They're not producing pennies anymore, and so we're just going to have to figure it out. And this is the advice we're giving businesses today.
Okay. And we have Commissioner Brian Caffarelli here with the Department of Consumer Protection. Let's talk about tax season. It is around the corner. Hate to be the bearer of bad news, but as people are starting to look for accountants, what do you recommend they do before they hire?
Yeah. So a couple things. So looking for an accountant and also some scams I think we're going to get to about taxes. But first of all, tax season is here. First official day to file is Monday the 26th. So this coming Monday. So it can be a stressful time to gather your documents, file correctly, securely, on time. And so if you don't currently work with a professional and you are looking to do so, the options can be overwhelming and it can be hard to know who can do what. And so, you know, really the best thing, like a lot of other things that we talk about, Melissa, is word of mouth. And so if you've got someone that you know and trust that works with a professional, get some recommendations and references, especially when you choose the person. But a certified public accountant or a CPA can be hired, and they do a lot of things. In addition to preparing your tax returns, they offer advice on tax matters. They can, represent you before the IRS if an issue occurs. They're all required, the CPAs, to have an active registration with our agency, DCP. So you can always go to our website, and I suggest you do that before engaging one, to make sure that they have an active registration, that they are, in fact, legitimately a CPA, that they have the credentials and are, you know, competent to file your return and represent you.
So you had mentioned before, you know, obviously you want to avoid being duped by, you know, well, again, CPAs usually have all their licenses and credibilities, all that. But besides making sure you have the right person who's handling these very personal documents, by the way, so you want to vet the person you're working with, what are signs of a tax scam that people should be aware of, Brian?
Yeah, so, I mean, there's a lot of, these fraudsters will take advantage of kind of the seasonal opportunity, and really it is taxes right now. And so there are a lot of scammers who impersonate tax professionals. They know that money and financial information is involved, and a lot of times there's refunds coming, and so they look for ways to deceive taxpayers. So if, first of all, you want to check and make sure that you have a legitimate CPA or a paid tax preparer. They are registered with the Department of Revenue Services, and Mark Boughton over there does a great job, and you know, you can go to their website and look up if you want to use one of those. They are more limited in their scope, but you should, some of the red flags, you should never sign a blank tax return with someone who promises to handle the rest. You know, if they are promising you fast or massive refunds, if you see these flashy ads for hard to believe refunds, and they're trying to get you away from the legitimate tax preparer that you've been using because they've got more creative ways, or they used to work for the IRS, or there's a whole host of things that they'll be out there telling you. And again, if it's too good to be true, it probably is. Search the name of the accountant or professional online. For accountants, you can go to elicense.ct.gov. And if they don't appear on eLicense, they are not licensed and they cannot prepare taxes in Connecticut.
I looked at a store next to our ice cream shop on High Ridge Road in Stamford, Connecticut, on a Friday night with my kids, and there's illicit marijuana flower on the counter.
You're hearing from Attorney General William Tong, and he has renewed a push for more crackdowns to happen on illicit drugs being sold at smoke shops and gas stations across Connecticut. In fact, this week, he was speaking about the upcoming legislative session and really, I'd say, demanding Connecticut lawmakers to do more. He says that we need to be more stringent about the illegal substances that are proliferating our store shelves, whether it's gas stations or smoke shops. We need to be doing more. And actually, it was a couple of years ago, I might have the date wrong, but the Attorney General teamed up with Commissioner Brian Caffarelli of the Department of Consumer Protection, and they did this massive campaign about this exact thing. PSAs and commercials on television, radio, everywhere, to let people know, hey, these are illegal snacks and candies that are being masked to look like what you would think a Cheetos bag or a Snickers bar is supposed to look like, when in fact it has very high levels of THC, for example, and it's not regulated, and kids can just go in and buy them. And I'm curious what your thoughts are. We've got Commissioner Brian Caffarelli with us today. I was curious what your thoughts are, if you feel like we've seen progress since that campaign started, and if you agree with the Attorney General that we just aren't doing enough to really crack down on this issue.
Yeah, I think we have seen progress, Melissa. And for your listeners, the Department of Consumer Protection regulates the legal market for adult use and medical marijuana. And government works best when it works together, quite frankly. And there's a lot of different levers that agencies, including the Attorney General, have. And we have made a concerted effort. It did start, you know, around the time that PSA launched, with our, first of all, the municipalities play a huge role in this, because what's happening that you're talking about in these vape shops and these gas stations, what is being sold is illegal. It's untested, it's unsafe, and we quite frankly don't know what's in it. If it's just THC, quite often, it contains amounts of THC 10 to 100 times the legal amount, you know, that is sold in the regulated market. And oftentimes it contains other, you know, it contains harmful, like heavy metals or other substances, or God forbid, fentanyl has been found in some of these products. So it's very dangerous. And you're right, it's being marketed in these lookalike candies and snacks that appeal to, quite frankly, minors. And it's a problem. The legislature has done a lot. They are aware of it. They continue to make progress in it. They passed a bill last session that gave more teeth. It gave more, but part of the problem is making sure that the consumers are aware that what they're buying is not legal. There was some, and so these vape shops and stores that sell, you know, nicotine vapes is what they're supposed to be selling, have to display large signs saying that you cannot purchase cannabis here. Really, if you want to partake in the either adult use in the adult use market, you need to do so from a regulated store. And there are a lot of efforts being made on the local level in conjunction with state partners, including ourselves and our drug control agents, to go after these bad actors. And so there's a variety of ways that you could do that. You could do it with the police, through criminal actions. We seize the materials with them. We go with the Department of Revenue Service, the Department of Labor. Oftentimes there are other violations. And the Attorney General has the ability to cut these individuals off and entities off from financially. So they can levy large fines and have successfully done that. And so we have made concerted efforts to do it. Are there still vape shops? Is this still happening? Yes. And so it's a little bit like whack-a-mole, but I think we've come light years from where we were, and everyone is much more aware and focused on the problem.
So I was reading that the Attorney General wants lawmakers to establish a statewide certification system where retailers pledge not to sell these illicit substances, giving them a grace period to actually become compliant. And the big thing he was saying was, you'll hear about police going in, raiding these shops, they find the issues, and they're temporarily shut down. But then we believe they just kind of open back up. And I'm curious if you feel like even that's a stiff enough penalty, you know, to certify. I mean, first of all, I don't even know where these snacks or these illegal products come from. But I mean, how many strikes until you're out kind of a thing? I mean, because I feel like even just a slap on the wrist or saying you need to certify doesn't stop people from breaking the law.
Well, I mean, I don't think that they are slaps on the wrist, that especially these bad actors. I do also want to, first of all, the Attorney General is a great partner with our agency, and so we work together daily on matters like this and many others. The other thing I forgot to mention is that the legislature has empowered the municipalities to take action on their own as well.
And some have.
With what we're doing.
Yeah, some have. Like, I know here in Milford, they did that last year where no new smoke shops can open up in our municipality. That was an ordinance that was put into place to, in effect, with what
that.
You guys are doing. Yeah.
But also, what a lot of, and the Attorney General's office, in conjunction with a lot of other state agencies, have been educating town CEOs, their police chiefs and lawyers about other things that they can do. And let me give you one example. Landlords who are on notice that their tenants are committing these illegal acts by selling these illegal products, after they're put on notice, can be fined daily. And I can't remember if it's $5,000 or $10,000.
Oh, wow.
So the landlords are on the hook if they know that this is going on, and it's a simple notice to the landlord, and these landlords know it. And so more and more of the towns that understand that they can do this, the landlords go on notice, and then they go after the landlords, and the landlords want nothing to do with leasing to these illegal actors. And so that is one way that they can get them out, because they have nowhere to be, right? And so if they can't rent them. So there's a lot of ways to address this issue. Unfortunately, there's not a silver bullet. And I know that they will take action in the legislature, the short session that starts in the beginning of February. And, you know, I'm not sure of all the details of what the Attorney General is suggesting, but always there's room for improvement. That doesn't mean that we're not doing a good job, but we can do better.
I love that. And that's so true, Brian. I appreciate that because that's just it. I do feel like in the last 2 years, there's certainly been more crackdowns. And like I said, there are more ordinances that towns and cities have put into place to try and also fix this problem. But, you know, always room for improvement. And I guess we'll see what the legislature wants to do about this in the short session starting in February. We thank you so much, Commissioner Caffarelli, for all that you do. Again, Commissioner of the Department of Consumer Protection here in Connecticut, and for joining us on WICC. Always appreciate your time.